אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Rowan Knox is Liberal candidate for Wentworth, who is vying to take back the electorate, which is currently run by independent MP Allegra Spender since 2022 and was previously run by Dave Sharma, a Liberal as well. Rowan Knox, welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Thank you so much. It's fantastic to be on the show.
Now, let's just open up with the recent Australian Electoral Commission investigation over the pamphlets distributed in Wentworth. Independent MP Allegra Spender has said that the pamphlets were part of a campaign of dirty tricks. Now, what do you say about these pamphlets, and should the AEC inform the public about who was involved in the distribution of the pamphlets?
Yeah, so I'll leave that to the AEC. They're well-versed in these matters about whether they will reveal who was the individual involved. They were very clear that it wasn't an individual that was involved with any major party or indeed with any candidate running in Wentworth. We've asked the AEC to verify the initial claim that was obviously publicised very heavily by the Spender campaign, that over 47,000 unauthorised brochures and pamphlets were put throughout the seat. Just to let you know that I obviously did a huge amount of door knocking last week, and I haven't met one local who has seen one of these pamphlets. So we have asked the AEC to please verify the claim of 47,000, because that's obviously a very big number and makes this even more concerning given it was unauthorised material.
Earlier this year, Allegra Spender and Jackie Lambie introduced motions on anti-Semitism to federal parliament, seeking criminal penalties for hate speech that could lead to violent attacks. What do you think should happen, and what hate speech laws should be strengthened further?
Yeah, so obviously we then had at the last sitting, both major parties changed the criminal code around hate speech, and I welcome those changes. I also welcome the Liberal Party's position, and I think it's unfortunate it has not also been adopted by the Labor Party, the ECAJ's 15-point plan to combat anti-Semitism. Because I do think we need a comprehensive approach, which includes not just strengthening the criminal code at the federal level and the state level, but also ensuring we've got these other pieces around education and looking at what's going on in the arts space as well.
Okay, and that actually feeds into my next question. Some of your policies include lowering inflation, cheaper energy, affordable homes, quality healthcare, and something that I really want to spotlight here, safer communities. So given that a large portion of your constituency is Jewish, and in the wake of the spate of attacks towards Jewish people, some even happening in your electorate, how do you plan on tackling this major and urgent issue?
Yeah, so it is definitely a major issue for our community, and it's for the whole community. It's not just for the Jewish community. We've had a number of anti-Semitic graffiti attacks. We obviously also had the cars burnt in Wentworth, and our whole community felt very impacted by it. We obviously have the biggest Jewish population of any seat in the country, and the Jewish community is integral to the Wentworth community. So the whole community felt impacted by that. My view is I'm a very strong supporter of the ECAJ's 15-point plan, because I do think we need to look at all the pieces of anti-Semitism that we've seen explode, including the encampments at universities, which is obviously part of that plan too. We have a huge number of kids who I've spoken to who are at universities, particularly Sydney University, and they felt incredibly unsafe on campus. They felt unwanted, and these are our fantastic young leaders, our people of the future, and many of them said that they were just doing courses online at home because they did not want to go onto campus, and I think that that's unacceptable, and that's why I think this 15-point plan looks at all the components that we saw in terms of anti-Semitism. And obviously we need a policing component, we need a long-term educational component, And we also need to ensure that some of our legislation is tightened. But we've also seen a huge outbreak of anti-Semitism online, and some of those laws around are already in place, and we should ensure that we're actually using them.
And do you think that MP Allegra Spender is doing enough to combat this issue?
So I think Allegra's obviously a very nice person. She's very well-intentioned, but none of her amendments to the hate crimes were passed by either major party. And my view is on this particular issue, you can't equivocate between the two sides. And many in the community have felt unsupported by Allegra Spender in this process.
Now, I just want to pivot to something else. You've expressed concern about a recognition for a Palestinian state. Australia's long-standing position has been to support a two-state solution. So are you against the two-state solution? Can you elaborate on this perspective?
Yes, of course. No, I'm not against a two-state solution, but I am against a two-state solution where Israel's security is not guaranteed. And what's being proposed by this Labor government is a two-state solution without any conditions to guarantee Israel's security. And to me, that's completely unacceptable. And it also uproots decades and decades of bipartisan support around how a two-state solution would be structured.
I know that you also visited Israel in December 2024. I did. Yeah, so can you tell us what you learned? I mean, did anything surprise you? What was the purpose of your trip?
Yeah, so I obviously also studied in Israel on exchange from the Melbourne Law School.
You went to Hebrew U.
I do. As my children remind me, in the early Middle Ages, it was 1995, but I was in Israel in December and I privately funded my trip for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I'm obviously fascinated by the entrepreneurial space. I think there's a huge amount that Australia can learn about the growth of entrepreneurship in Israel, about the connection between Israel's top universities and private equity and venture capital, and the way that they've enabled public money to support concepts which are really at the idea phase, but then how they move that, how then they privatise those ideas so quickly, so then private enterprise is stepping in. So that was one purpose of the trip around entrepreneurship. And then the second purpose was to go to the sites of the October 7th attacks, because I don't think you can really understand it unless you've been there. And that was definitely my experience. I've obviously, as most people have, seen the footage of the attacks, but it's almost impossible to understand the scale of it. And as we know, Israel's a tiny, tiny country that completely over-delivers given its tiny size. And I couldn't believe the geographic scale of it. I also couldn't believe the devastation. So I went to Kibbutz Al Amin, which not many people have been to, which is one of Israel's biggest producers of dairy, eggs and peppers. And they have these amazing greenhouses. And all the greenhouses, which just give you an idea of scale, they're about 27 football fields long. Every single one of them had been completely destroyed. Over 300,000 chickens had been burnt alive that day. And then obviously the dairy cows and so on had also been killed. And I was shocked by the scale of that. And then even knowing as much as I knew before I went, the brutality of the day. I spoke to obviously survivors of the Nova Festival. I found particularly shocking, and I don't think you can quite appreciate that unless you've been. And spoken to people, and then obviously I spoke to a huge number of hostage families when I was in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem.
I actually just wanted to bring it back to the business component of things.
Yes.
Do you think that here in Australia we're tapping into our potential in terms of the startup scene, and what can we learn from Israel? because you did say the government funding was definitely helping privatise some of these companies. That money essentially goes back into pay for the very speculative startups. And once those are successful and they can then sell them on back into the private sector, then the money comes back into the government's fund. What do you think is the best route for us to take? And also, can I ask why you turned your head to politics when you were in the private sector for so long?
I was, yes. Okay. I was in New York, so I worked with some extraordinarily tough clients and learned a huge amount about, obviously, business, but also around leadership and teamwork. And I love that. I love the American can-do attitude, just like I love the Israeli can-do attitude.
So do we have the can-do attitude here in Australia?
I think that is in our very DNA. But what I would like us to move to as a country is really to how do we support innovation? And my view is government has a role in that, but that should be the smallest role possible. What we should be doing is incentivising private enterprise, incentivising investors to invest in our entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I also think if we can start to make better connections between universities and private equity, some of this research that's been done at universities, which is world class, we should be owning that as a country. We should be connecting, and we should be connecting that in with our investor networks, which I know is happening a little bit. But if you look at Israel and their strong connections between some of the work they're doing, it really cutting edge pieces. I think we could do a lot more. I mean, just to show the success of the Israeli startup ecosystem, it's not called the Startup Nation for nothing. Israel currently has 135 companies listed on the NASDAQ, and that puts them fourth behind the US, Canada and China. And if you think about the population size of Israel compared to those other three countries, it's extraordinary. Obviously, Israelis, by their very nature, are very good with managing risk and tolerating risk, and so are Americans. And I think Australians tend to be a little bit more cautious. And part of what I think we need to do as we start to build up our entrepreneurial firepower is to ensure that we also we allow young people and young entrepreneurs to take risks, because just having come from that space myself, you can have a number of failures before you have success, and we should be keeping people on that pathway.
Can I ask why you turned your head to politics when you were a management consultant?
Yeah, so I was actually a management consultant, and then a group of us left Deloitte Consulting and we started a small VC firm. And so we were in between angel investors and Series A. So we did very small investments, sort of $600 to $1 million. And so I've worked a lot in the entrepreneurial space too. And the reason why I turned to politics is I really think we need these skill sets in public life. We need big business experience, we need entrepreneurial experience, and we need small business experience. And I obviously have a background in my family background. My great aunt was one of the first women to be pre-selected by the Liberal Party. And I obviously have a history of leadership, student leadership position. So it was always, I would always, I think it was a matter of when was I going to do politics. And I felt I could continue to complain about the political system, or I could get involved. And I think at this election, the Liberal Party have so many extraordinary people running. The vast majority of people do not have a political background. And I think this diversity of voices that the Liberal Party have running this time can make a real impact for Australia.
So just on that, with the Liberal Party, and this will be my last question for you, just very broadly speaking, has the Liberal Party adequately addressed the concerns of anti-Semitism within its ranks or amongst its supporters?
So I think we've been extraordinarily strong on anti-Semitism, and we've done this right from the start, right from October 7th. And Peter Dutton, straight after the Sydney Opera House events on October 9. He came out straight after that to say that we should have a national cabinet to address what he saw were completely unacceptable, un-Australian and anti-Semitic acts. And my view is the Liberal Party has been completely unequivocal in its support, not only for the Jewish people, but also for our great ally, Israel.
Rowan Knox, thank you so much for joining us on SBS Hebrew.
Thank you. An absolute pleasure to be with you.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.